Christmas, class of 89.
Have you come home, Michael? I know what you want from her.
Thanks for tuning in to Class of 89 on the Fangoria Podcast Network, where we take you behind the scenes of our favorite movies that turned 30 this year. I'm Natasha Pacetta, your host and vanguard of The Vault over here at Fangoria, and this is our series on Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. The man behind the mask, Don Shanks, joins us to talk about his role as The Shape. Don talks about his audition, the real occult practices and symbolism used in the original Dr. Death scene, how Donald Pleasance broke his nose, the time he and Stephen King talked Fango on the set of The Stand, and much more. But before we get to Don's stories, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. Fangoria Magazine has never been better. With your subscription, you'll get a full year of the deluxe 100-page quarterly edition shipped straight to your door. You'll see familiar names like Fango veterans Mike Hogan Gold and Tony Timpone, and bylines from Barbara Crampton and S. Craig Zahler. Go to Fangoria.com and use the promo code CLASSOF for 15% off your first year of frights. That's Fangoria.com, promo code CLASSOF. And jump into the feeding frenzy and buy Crawl today on Blu-ray and digital. Producer Sam Raimi, the horror mastermind behind Don't Breathe and the Evil Dead movies, teams up with director Alexander Aja of The Hills Have Eyes to bring you this year's most intense horror film. Certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, sink your teeth into over 45 minutes of terrifying bonus content, including an all-new motion comic of the film's alternate opening. You'll never want to get back in the water ever again. Get Crawl today on Blu-ray and digital, rated R from Paramount Pictures. And I want to tell you about my friends at Fright Rags. Fright Rags is the premier place for horror apparel and accessories from all your favorite creature features, slasher flicks, and cult classics. Now in their 16th year, Fright Rags has officially licensed products from over 50 films, releasing new collections every week and featuring artwork from top industry artists, and is professionally screen printed on super soft ring spun cotton shirts. My closet is entirely Fright Rags t-shirts at this point. New this week, Fright Rags celebrates the 30th anniversary of Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers, with two brand new shirts also available in women's hoodies and baseball tees. Listeners get 10% off your first order. Head on over to fright-rags.com and enter code FANGO40 at checkout to activate your discount. That's fright-rags.com. Now let's get to Don's stories from the making of Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. Let's start at the beginning. How did you become involved in Halloween 5?
Well, originally the stunt coordinator had called me and wanted to know if I was available for doing stunts. They were shooting here in Salt Lake City. And I told him yes, I was Don Pike. And he called back like 5 minutes later and he says, you need to come in and talk to the director. Okay, what? You know, you usually don't, you know, come in and talk for doing stunts. He goes, well, they're looking at you for playing Michael Myers. And so went in. I talked with Dominic, you know, and he had some, you know, this idea, that idea. And then he said, I want to see you walk like wood through water. Thought about it for a minute, and then I did it. And he said, okay, you're it.
Wow. That was pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then you guys started shooting like a week or so after you had been hired as Michael Myers.
Yes.
It's not a lot of turnaround there at all. Were you a fan of the Halloween movies before you got the role?
Well, I had seen 1 and 2. I can't say that exactly a fan. I liked them. You know, but, you know, I thought they were very well done.
Being Michael Myers, that's a lot of pressure. I mean, you basically have a franchise on your shoulders at that point. Was it a concern to you, or did you feel that pressure?
No, I didn't.
That's great. Wow. There is a change in the mask. What changes had to be made after you were cast?
Well, Kat's kind of a big head for one thing. But the mask itself was kind of based on Greg Nicotero, I believe, of KMB.
Yeah.
Effects. And then, you know, the nose had to be changed a little bit and this and that, you know. So it has a different look.
Yeah, it definitely is different. It stands out from the rest of them for sure. And let's talk about...
It has a little more character.
It does. It's very scary looking. You actually have talked about the original Dr. Death scene in the very beginning of the movie, which was originally with Theron Reed. Can you walk us through that original setup? Because from what I've read, you know, and even in Fangoria, we did a set visit and, you know, Theron Reed is like on, you know, one of our pages. It was just a spookier setup. Can you kind of walk us through that?
Well, he had, he was the one who found me. Or I find him after I go down the river. And I'm there for a year. And there's this stone altar that I'm laying on. And there's this rock above me. It looks like a stalagmite hung by a string. Mm. And it's moving the whole time in a circle. And he comes over and he puts the tattoo on me, you know, the thorn.
Right.
And he does these incantations over me, and the mask is next to me. And on Halloween, I come to life, put the mask on, take him, I break his back, you know, lift him up over my head, throw him on the altar, and I come down like I'm putting the rock through his chest.
That's a much more frightening opening than what we've got.
Why did they change?
Yeah.
Mustafa thought it had a little too much to do with, like, witchcraft, the macabre. You know, he wanted more of a focus on Michael, not, you know, anything else. Because the people who put all the stuff in there were actually witches.
Oh, wow.
And there were actual spells. There were actual, you know, different things that, you know, that they use in witchcraft.
That's kind of spooky. That must have been, you know, a spooky atmosphere on set.
Yeah. Well, it kind of lent itself to that.
So you actually broke your nose on the set of Halloween 5. Yeah. More specifically, Donald Pleasance broke your nose. What happened?
Yeah. Well, he's beating me up with the 2x4. Mm. And what it was foam, but it had a PVC pipe in it. And so if you hit on the poor side, you know, the thick side, it was fine. But he smacked me with the tubing. I was bleeding out the mask, and Don goes, "Did he get you?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "You want to stop?" I go, "No, no big deal."
Wow. So you had to, you know, just do the rest of the shoot with a broken nose.
Yeah, no big deal. Man, I've had it broken I don't know how many times.
Man, you're tough, Don. You're tough.
Well, you gotta be.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing Michael Myers, you have to be a tough guy.
That's right. It's not a big deal, you know. I get shot. I get, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, blown up or tried to blown up.
Yeah, I mean, you are a true stuntman, and I think that really lend itself to Halloween 5 because it seemed like it was kind of a you know, not the most safe set at all times.
It was safe, you know, but it's just, you know, things happen.
Right. That's true. Like, I know in the car chase scene with Wendy Kaplan, who plays Tina, you know, there was a moment there that was a little scary. Can you tell us about that?
Well, we were doing it and the lights we're using to light her were on the car. So I had to kind of keep her in the center and had to stay fairly close to her. And after, like, the third take, she asked, "Rob, when do you see my face?" And he says, "Well, I can't really see your face. You know, I just see the side or whatever."
Right.
And so in the next take, she turned around and she stepped on the cape and she tripped.
Oh.
And I put it right on top of her legs.
Oh, man. And she was concerned about just having her face in the shot. And
right. Well, she wanted to. People know it was her. I can't blame her for being an actor, but, you know, sometimes you got to let people know what you're going
to
do.
Let's go back to working with Donald Pleasance for a second. What was that like?
Well, you know, he was very, quiet, you know, but he's very polite. And he wanted to do most of the stuff himself. The scene where I stab him and I put his head through the window, you know, that's him.
Wow.
And then he wanted to do over the railing, and Don Pike goes, "No, I don't, you know, we can't let you do that."
Wow. So he really was gung-ho about the authenticity of Loomis doing these things.
Well, he had been a stage actor, and he'd done fencing and done fight scenes, and, you know, he wanted to, you know, do as much as he could. There was one time where after I wrecked the car, I stabbed Wendy, and they had wrapped me for the night. Then he came over and knocked on my door. He goes, "Might I ask a favor?" I go, yeah, okay. He goes, I need to know that you're out there. I don't have to see you, but I just need to know that you're out there. You know, because he's going, Michael, I know you can hear me, you know, one of those, you know. And so I go, yeah, sure. Right? And they, you know, we're going to sign me back in. I go, no, no, it's fine. And it went out there and, you know, then he thanked me for doing it.
Wow. That was, well, that was cool of you to go out there. You know, I mean, I guess when Donald Pleasance asks you to do something, you do it. So.
Well, if it helps an actor, you do whatever you can.
Yeah, that's great.
And the people on the show, I mean, even when they weren't filming, you know, the cast members, they would come out and support the other cast members.
It just seemed like everyone, you know, worked really well together, like the KMB guys, Daniel Harris. It just seemed like everyone had such a fun time making this movie. And you can tell when you watch the movie. You, in addition to playing Michael Myers in Halloween 5, also played the man in black, the nebulous man in black. Can you explain to us what is that role? Why? Did anyone give you any guidance on what he is?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what they had planned. It wasn't until we were shooting the attic scene. And, you know, because they were shooting other things of me, you know, my face and this and that. And it's like, are you going to show all this? And I go, no, it's for, you know, part six. And they, what it was is that the house that we were filming in, you could go out one door, go in another one, and come back in into the same room. And so what I would do is I'd go out as Michael, reach out for the doorknob, and you see the thorn, and I run around, put the coat on, and put the gloves on, and reach out again, they could see the thorn again, you know? So sort of the cowboy switch type thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a couple of times where, you know, it's like in the breakout and different things, you know, I was playing him. They had another guy who I think, I can't remember his name, but he came, you know, off the bus with the, you know, the boots and whatever, kicks the dog. That was my idea. I said, if you kick a dog, nobody likes you.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was talking with Mustafa, and he had mentioned that, you know, that it would be like an alter ego, you know, that it's like, you know, this is Michael and this is Michael, or this, you know, or a twin or whatever. So I would play both parts. So what they were doing was they were shooting footage that they would use in six to show that it was the same face.
Gotcha.
If that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's definitely. Sort of like Raising Cain. That's what I thought anyway.
Yeah, it's like they're twins in this weird, same person, but like this weird alternate universe, maybe. Well, thank you for giving a little more insight into the man in black, because I know that's, you know, always.
Well, I was confused because I was, you know, it's like, okay, can you put this on and come in and shoot the guards? And it's like, okay, you know, did that, and, you know, different, you know, back and forth. And I mean, to me, it was just like, okay, I'm here, they need a body, and I'm doing it.
Right.
Then when they did part six, I mean, they had originally, Mustafa had called me, and as a matter of fact, the first personal appearance I did as Michael was for Fangoria.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's like, you know, we want you to play Michael in part six. We want you to go out and start promoting it, you know, the, you know, this, this, and that. And so I did a show in Chicago and really didn't know what I, you know, what I was going to do. And, you know, then it went on, it was on, it's off, it's on, it's off. And then they cast some, well, they went back with George Wilbur. They went with the original stunt coordinator from part four.
Yeah, it's just a weird history the Halloween franchise has. It takes many twists and turns for sure.
Well, I had a great time doing it. I have a great time going out and meeting the fans and stuff. I mean, they know the movie better than I do.
It's so fun to hear from, like, you, and I talked to Danielle about this movie also, and it's just really cool to hear that you guys had such a great time.
Well, you know, I have to give it to Danielle. As a little kid, she's out there every night. She's wanting, you know, she wanted to do her own stunts too.
The whole movie, everyone wants to do their own stunts.
Well, but, you know, it's kind of like with Tom Cruise and different, you know, people want to, you know, if you see it, you want them to think that it's you. And if they can see your face, I mean, that they don't have to hide that from camera. We did have stunt double for her, but it's, no, I can do that, you know. But chasing her with the car and, you know, going in and, you know, we worked it out, but, you know, she's 11 years old at the time.
She wasn't afraid of anything, it seemed like.
Nope. Well, and the thing where I'm stabbing the laundry chute.
Yeah.
I mean, she's in there, and I'm using a real knife. One of my specialties are edge weapons. And, you know, fencing masters, that type, you know. Anyway, we had worked it out, and I go, okay, you got to be here, and gave her, you know, places, you know, where she had to be, you know, and if she wasn't there, to yell out, to make sure that, you know, I didn't stab, you know, where the place where she couldn't get out of.
That's choreography, you know, at its best. You know, you have to work out
well,
those things.
And I'm blind doing it, too.
Yeah.
I can't see her.
That's such a testament to your skill level, Don, for sure. What was your reaction to seeing yourself as Michael Myers when the film was completed?
Well, I was pretty proud of it.
That's awesome. You should be.
Yeah. You know, usually I don't, you know, see much of the stuff I do, but they had a premiere in L.A. and I went to that, and, you know, it's all kind of cool. You know, and a lot of times being a stunt person, you don't get the accolades.
And this time you could say, hey, that's me wearing the Michael Myers mask with the broken nose from Donald Pleasance.
Well, I like the horror films, you know. I would do more.
What is it about the horror genre that you like?
Well, very physical. And so, you know, that's the one reason I got into doing movies. I mean, I started out wrestling bears. I was in theater before that, and it just lent itself more to the physical. And that's why I went into the stunt work instead of acting.
Gotcha.
More than, you know, because I do like doing the physical.
I think it's so fitting that you ended up being Michael Myers, because that is such a physical character, for sure. Like,
yes.
You don't have a face to show the emotions. Like, you need to use your whole body in that.
Yeah, well, we used to do an exercise when I was in theater, in the acting classes, where you'd be sitting in a circle, and you get up and you walk, the instructor, and he says, okay, now when you walk, think about marching in a band. And when you think about something, your walk changes, you know? So you have to have something that you're focusing on,
yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But all you have to do is think about it, and it changes very subtly, but, you know, it's there.
Is there something that you had in your mind when you were portraying Michael Myers that you were thinking about?
Yep.
What was it?
I can't tell you that.
You can't tell me?
Well, I'm thinking about what, okay, he's after the little girl, and why is he after her? You know, he has to find her, and he has to get rid of her. Mm-hmm. And that's his main focus, because she knows what he knows. She sees what he sees.
So he's just on a mission to exterminate.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the part six was supposed to go, because they were all three supposed to be interlinked.
Right.
At least that's what, you know, that my understanding.
Yeah, I think that's,
you know,
what it was originally.
That the guy in black could see what Michael sees, what she sees, you know.
It's like I said, the Halloween franchise is so strange. And many, many twists and turns, for sure. I've got one more question for you, Don, and that's our Class of 89 extra credit question. If you could go back in time 30 years, what advice would you give yourself?
Do what you do, you know. I mean, that's, you know, pretty much I'm still doing what, you know, you want to do. As far as the character, you know, I think I nailed it.
Yeah, I think you're a great Michael Myers, and I think you really did bring a ferocity and physicality to the character. It's just really cool to look back on that movie and hear from you, the person behind the mask, about what was going on back then. So thank you so much for sharing your memories with us, Don.
Well, thank you. Like I said, Fangoria is the first one that ever contacted me. Tony Tempone.
Oh, yeah, Tony, yeah. Wow.
Know? And, you know, I mean, I literally just did Fangoria stuff when we first started doing the personal appearances.
Yeah. And
I think Fangoria is the, you know, apex of the horror genre.
Wow, well, thank you.
Well, it's true. I mean, I was getting Fangoria before I ever played Michael Myers.
Oh, that's awesome. That must have been so cool to, you know, read about the other Halloween movies, and then you're the star of one. That must have been a cool moment.
Well, and I have one story.
Yeah.
I was working on The Stand, Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
right? And it's where the house blows up. You know, Rob Lowe comes in, blows up the house. And Steven came in. We're in doing the interior shots. And he stopped and he looked at me. And he pointed his finger and he goes, "The Shape." He goes, "I just read your article on Fangoria." He goes, "I love this shit."
Wow. What an
and so he sat down, he started talking to me about it and stuff, and he's like, "No, oh, this is kind of cool."
Man.
But Stephen King is a fan of yours, too.
Oh, and we're such a fan of Stephen, too. I mean, I think the horror genre owes so much to him. That's such a cool moment to have Stephen King talk to you about being Michael Myers, you know, about you being in an article of Fangoria.
Well, and Molly Ringwald was in there, Gary Sinise, you know, and everybody's going, looking at me like, "Wait a minute, why is he recognizing you?" Thought you were a stunt person.
He's Michael Myers, guys. Wow, such a cool story. Well, thank you so much, John, for sharing that with us.
Well, thank you.
I know why you've come back, Michael. Because the little girl can stop the rage inside. She knows how to do it, Michael. If you let her, she can stop the rage.
Thanks for listening to Fangoria Presents Class of 89. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. And follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the horror content you crave. Class of 89 is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, produced and hosted by Natasha Pesetta, executive producers Dallas Saunier and Phil Nobile Jr., associate producer Jessica Safavimer, art and design by Ashley Detmering, sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pesetta, music by James Malone, for Fangoria, Brandon Winardi, Jason Koslerich, Rachel Wilson, and special thanks to Udo Kier.